Today, I'm excited. We're kicking off a new series. We're kicking off a new era, a new service time, a new season, and it's just been a season of transition. But I want you to know this. Your church is a big deal. This church, this house of God, this place is a big deal. That we have a purpose that's been given to us by God. We have a plan that God has for this place. We have a plan for God to work in our midst. And it's a place for us to connect with God. Everybody say connect. This is a place for us to connect with God. And so I want you to be full of encouragement. I want your heart to be full of vision, because this church, your church, is a big deal. And anytime you talk about a church being a big deal and a church being a significant place in the community, that you always have to think about it's full of great people. But really, I think maybe it's people with a commitment to a great God. That it takes, we serve a great God. How many of you believe that God is great? That we serve a great God, and really it takes a people with a commitment, a great commitment to the Great Commission and the Great Commandments, and is fulfilled with great compassion. That is what this place is to be, a place where we connect with God, and we as people have a great commitment to the Great Commandment, the Great Commission, and we fulfill it with great compassion. This place is a big deal. And so in the Bible we see that as we're talking about the Great Commission, and we're talking about the Great Commandment, and we're talking about fulfilling these things with great compassion, that Jesus talks about some things in the Bible that are really important for us to understand, really important for us to capture. And so if you would, turn with me in your Bibles, whether it's on your phone or your tablet or your actual Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew chapter 22, I'll give you a second to turn there, but what's happening is, the religious leaders are coming to Jesus and they're trying to trap him. They're asking him a question, but they're not trying to really get an answer. They are trying to trap Jesus. And they're saying, hey, there's hundreds and maybe even thousands of laws of the Old Testament. And there's all these rules. And then each teacher, so Jesus wasn't the only teacher that had disciples. There were lots of different teachers or rabbis who had disciples. And what they would do is they would have their own set of convictions in addition and their own set of rules that was called their yoke. And it was just kind of a traditional thing. And so if you were a disciple of this teacher, you had a certain yoke and you had a certain set of rules. And that's why Jesus says, take my burden upon you, because my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Because his yoke, his rules were light compared to some of the religious duties of the day. So now this religious leader, this expert of the law, is asking Jesus a question. And instead of really asking him for a real answer, he's trying to trap him and to catch him in something. And here's what he says. One of them, an expert of the law, tried to trap Jesus with this question. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, here's what I want you to understand. Only four times in the Bible is the term great used in regard to something. Only four times. So capture this, because this is one of those moments where Jesus said, this is so important that this is great. This is great. This is the greatest command. And here's what he says, and beginning in verse 37. Jesus replied, when he says, what's the most important commandment? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord God with all of your heart and all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And he goes on and he said, a second one is just as great or just as important. To love your neighbor as yourself. All of the commandments and all of the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. He's saying to love God and to love people. To love God and to serve God and to love people as God loves them. He said those two things, of the hundreds and maybe thousands of rules and regulations and guidelines, he's saying those two things are great. And if you want to be considered great in life, if you want to have an impact in life, if you want your life to matter, it's saying those two things are all you have to do to have a significant impact and make a difference in this lifetime. All it takes to honor God is with your life is to connect with him on a regular basis. You see, the relationship that we have with God is determined by our ability and by our regularity to connect with Him. Now, God never changes, God never moves, God never pulls away, that it is for us to connect with Him. And the Bible talks about that we are to remain in Him. And it gives a scriptural analogy of a vine and branches. And it's saying that the branch can't live on its own. It has to be connected to the vine, that the vine is a source of life. And so our walk with Him is based upon, in the greatness of the walk and the depth of that walk, our ability to be tuned in to God. Now, how many of you in this room, you say, I've been through seasons where I have not heard God at all, and it's been dry. Come on, anyone in here, raise them up high. Absolutely. There's seasons where you're going, I'm not hearing from God. I can't hear what He's speaking to me. But I want to tell you this. It's not because God has moved or God has stopped speaking. It's because oftentimes we're not living out these two commands, and as a result, we're not hearing what God is saying. Now, also, in our times of dryness, in our times away from God, sometimes those are our greatest times of spiritual growth. Because it causes us to dig deep and to pursue Him again. But here's the deal. God is always speaking. It's a matter of, are we tuned in? I love sports radio. I love sports in general. I also, on Sunday mornings, I turn on some praise and worship on the radio. And when I'm driving, I'm listening to music, or I'm listening to a talk show or something like that. And when I turn the car off, the radio stops. But the station doesn't stop broadcasting. They continue to broadcast. They continue to have their shows, they continue to play their music, they continue to have the debates back and forth, they continue to broadcast the news or broadcast the music. I'm just not tuned in anymore. And sometimes it's that same way in our spiritual life, is that God is still speaking, God is still ministering, God is still trying to communicate with us, but we have stepped out and we're missing what He is speaking to us. And if we're not living out these commandments of loving God, and of loving people, it's putting us in a position where our hearing of the Lord can be impaired. And so for our lives, we continually say, God, I want to connect with You. You are the most important thing in my life, above school, above career, above family. And that family is incredibly important, but it's always structured under God, because as we follow God and He is first, that He allows us to be a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better man, a better woman. He allows us to be strengthened in those areas so that we can be stronger in our families. But we have to live out these commandments to hear from the Lord. So how do we connect with God? How do we have this dynamic, daily, everyday relationship with God? How do I honor God daily? If Jesus is saying greatness in this lifetime is loving God and loving people, how in my life do I connect with God on a daily basis? Now, what are some of the key components of connecting and of honoring God? Today, we're going to look at four ways to honor God, and we're going to look at four ways to honor and to love others. Because as we love others, we're loving what God loves, and so we're honoring God by loving others and treating others in a certain way. So today, the first way that I love God, the first way I connect with God, or one way that I connect with God, and one way that I have this dynamic walk with Him, is I'm going to give God the best part of my week. If you're taking notes today, write that down. I honor God with the best part of my week, because you see, when we walk with God, it's a daily thing. And when we want to honor God, we're going to say, God, I'm going to give You the best part of my week. And you're saying, God, You are so important that before I do anything else with my week, the American week is structured Sunday through Saturday is really how we do it. You see it on calendars. That's primarily how it's structured. And we're not talking here about the Sabbath of Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, or Sunday when He arose. We're not talking, that's a whole nother conversation, right, Bob? That's a whole different topic. But we're talking about the way our calendar is structured. We're saying, God, to start my week, You are so important that I'm putting You first, and I'm giving You the best part of my schedule. And that's what you're doing this morning, is you're beginning your week, you're beginning your day, and you're saying, God, I'm giving You the first part of my week. That I'm setting aside everything else, and I'm giving You, boom, Sunday morning, first off, starts my week. Here's what Hebrews 10:25 says, and this is the Message paraphrase. It says, don't sway away from the church meetings as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. You see, when we come together, we're saying, God, I'm giving you the first part of my week, the best part of my week, I'm giving to you. And that we're coming together, we're meeting together, we're worshiping together, we're fellowshipping together, we're being encouraged in the Lord, we're being encouraged in prayer, we're being encouraged in accountability, but we're coming together, and there is something powerful when we come together in corporate worship, in corporate fellowship, in corporate learning. There is something powerful. Now, there is something great about a private prayer time, a private devotional time, but there is something about coming together with other believers, people of like faith, and saying, we're going to worship, and we're going to learn, and we're going to pray, and we're going to study together. There's something powerful about that, and something that encourages us in our life. And so we honor God with the best part of our week. And see, here's the deal. Your church is a big deal because you're putting yourself in a place to where you can take those next steps with God and grow in our relationship with Him. God, I give you the first part of my week. And when we come and we are at service and we're giving God the best of our week, the first part of our week, the very best of what we have, when we do that, not only are we serving God and are we honoring God, but it gives us the opportunity to serve others. When they're working in the nursery and they go take them through a lesson that only those children can understand. And not only are they serving God by being here, but they're serving others by giving them the opportunity to worship and they're teaching children. Or when they're greeting and we're seeing them greet. Or when the kid, like kids' church, Pastor Allen has stepped out because someone else is serving and the kids are teaching, being taught. That when we come, we worship together and we're serving God and honoring God, but we're also serving God. Others. And so today, Leah, she came to church and worshiped, and Aaron, and he came to church and worshiped, and they were here, but they were not also serving. So they were honoring God, serving God, and serving us. You see, what a powerful moment for us as we come together. And the challenge for you, the reason I say serving others, this is the sole reason, is that I want to encourage every one of you to find an area of ministry to serve in. Because we find great fulfillment in serving in God's kingdom, great fulfillment in serving in God's purpose. We find great fulfillment in using the abilities that God has given us to benefit other people. So the first way we honor God and we connect with God is this, is that we give God the best part of my week. But also I want to say this, that how do I honor God? How do I connect with God? How do I love God? The way we do this also is to honor God with the best part of my day. And this is where it gets nitty-gritty, rubber meets the road, 7 days a week, every day, I give God the best part of my day. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the best time of the day is the afternoon. My most productive part of the day is from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. I still believe that God is asleep between 2 and 6 a.m., right? I can't prove that in the Bible. I can't prove it theologically, but I'm just kidding if you think I'm being serious. But I mean, it's voicemail, right? I mean, during that time, it's just voicemail. You're in trouble, Sergey, if you pray between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. It's just voicemail, bro. But Tamara, so the best part for me is from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. I get the most done. I have my best devotional times. That is the best time. But Tamara, she's up most every day, 5 days a week, at 3:50 a.m. That's right. Did you hear that? Leah goes, exactly. So that she's up, and she's because she goes and she's running with her running group at 5:30 a.m. And she says, I have to get up and have my prayer time. I've got to get up and have my Bible time. I've got to get up and have my coffee. Amen for some coffee, right? I mean, she's saying, I've got to get up and do that. So for the best part of her day is at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's from 4 to 8. By 6 p.m., she's ready to go to bed. Well, that's crazy. Let's pray for Tamara right now. Dear God. So what is the best part of your day? That you take that time and you say, God, I love you so much. God, you are so important to me that I want to give you the best part of my day. And maybe it starts with 15 minutes. Maybe it starts with 10 minutes. You say, I've never had a devotional. I've never had a private time with God. And maybe it just starts with 10 or 15 minutes where you read a few scriptures and you spend a few minutes in prayer and let it grow from there. But what you're doing when you're giving God the best part of your day, and maybe the morning's the best. I mean, here's what the psalmist says in Psalms 5:3. It says, each morning I will look to you in heaven. I will lay my request before you and I will pray earnestly. So maybe the morning's the best time, but it's where you set aside a time. And maybe it's the morning because what you're doing is you're saying, God, you're so important. I'm giving you the best part of my day. And you know what happens? It's like a ship with a rudder. That the rudder sets the ship on course, and you have that Bible time, that prayer time, that spiritual time with God, and it sets the rudder for your day to where you're headed in the right direction. It gets everything started in the right direction. But that's how we honor God, is that we say, God, you are so important to me that I'm going to set the course for my day to follow you, and I'm going to give you the best, not only of my week, once a week, but the best of my day every day. We honor God. We connect with God. There's something that happens inside of us. But there's a third way that we connect with God and that we can honor God. And we honor God when we give him the best of our finances. Now, this one here is a tough one. But the key word here is the best for our finances. And I want to tell you this, that we'll never apologize for teaching what the Bible says on finances. Now, here's the deal. We're never going to beg. We're never going to bother or burden or push. But we will teach what the Word says. We will teach what the Bible says in regards to this. And the reason is because we want you to know what God says, and then it gives you the opportunity to obey or not obey, but at least you know the truth of Scripture. And then when we know the truth of Scripture and we understand and we begin to obey it, here's what happens. The Bible says you give generously, that He will pour out to you generously. We sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, that there is a spiritual principle here. And so what we're saying is if we know the truth and then we begin to honor God with the first and the best of my finances, it opens the door for God to be the provider in your life. That when we honor God with the best of our finances, it opens a door for him to say, okay, I met the need here and you trusted me enough to give. I'm going to meet the need again and I'm going to meet the need again. And so we're always going to teach what Scripture says. When we, and here's, like, in my life, at the end of the year and at the midpoint of the year, I always check and say, okay, is my budget in line? Is it my income and my expenses? Are they matching up? Are they in balance? I check periodically how our retirement account is doing. I check and say, okay, how can I get out of debt? Can I, my cars are paid off, and can I get out of debt on my house a little sooner? And we don't carry a credit card balance, so how can I stay from carrying that? And so we're checking our finances. But you want to know one way that I know that I'm going to be better off this year than I was last year and better off next year than I am this year is simply by putting God as the priority of my finances, because as I give to him, there's a spiritual principle that he's going to give back the measure in which I give. And so for us, we just need to evaluate and say, God, you gave me the ability to earn this money. You gave me the mental ability to work through this job. You gave me the air to breathe. And so I'm going to honor you with this, with the best. I'm going to give back to you, because what happens is I'm going to need more down the road, and I know you're going to bless me. But here's what I want to ask. Why did God talk so much about finances in Scripture? Why? I mean, heaven and hell are really important, yet he talks more about finances than heaven and hell, though he's clear on those areas, but why did he not talk more about other items that were pretty weighty and pretty heavy in Scripture? Deuteronomy addresses that. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, it says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your lives. That's what it's all about, is saying, God, you're first, more than stuff, more than accumulation, more than nice cars, more than whatever it might be. God, you are first, and I want to honor you. I want to live out these commands. I want to be called great in the kingdom. I want to be called great in your eyes, because I'm honoring you in all these areas of loving God and loving people. Matthew 6:33 says, you know, if the purpose of tithing and God dealing with this is he knew we'd want to hold stuff, and the purpose is to put God first, then what happens when we put God first? Matthew 6:33 in the Message paraphrase says it this way: God will give you everything you need if you put him first in your life and live as he wants you to. God will give you everything that you need as you put him first. as you say, God, you're the priority. And Lord, he's going to take care of you. We've seen that so many times over and over and over at Grace Hill, that as we put him first, he is taking care of us every step of the way as a church. And then the fourth area in which we honor God and we love God and we connect with God, the fourth area is that we honor God with our relationships. Now, here's the deal. By loving others, we honor God. And this is really, this is the bridge between the two commandments. In some ways, this is the bridge between loving God and loving man. And Paul said it this way in Galatians 5:14. Paul said this. He goes, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And when I read that, I was like, whoa, Paul, don't you remember Jesus? You know, the guy Jesus that, you know, you've come into relationship with. He said there were two, love God and love others. And so why are you now saying one, Paul? And the truth is because Paul understood that by loving what God loves, you are honoring him. That God loves people. He loves you so much. That you have you ever felt down, you've ever felt discouraged, you've ever felt defeated, you've ever felt, I mean, just out of the loop. God loves you. Romans 5:8, it says that God showed how much he loved you. He demonstrated his love, that while you were still a sinner, your heart was dark towards God. Christ came, God sent his son, and he died on the cross for you. He loves you. And that if God loves people that much, his creation that much, that as we love people as well, as we love them with the love of Christ, we are honoring God by how we love people. And so we honor God with our relationships, and we love what he loves. So we honor God, and we connect with God with giving him the best part of our week, the best part of our day, the best part of our finances, and then making him the center of our relationships. Let me ask you in here, how many of you have ever had a relationship that did not honor God? You've ever been in a relationship that didn't honor God? Raise them up high, come on, is that you? And you know what, it may not, I'm not even talking about like a boyfriend, girlfriend, or you know, kind of a lover. I'm talking about there's someone at work, and you didn't like them, and they didn't like you, and you had to still kind of be around each other at work, and you kind of were rude to each other. How many of you have ever been in one of those situations? That there's someone that you just didn't like, that they irked you, that they you couldn't, I mean, when they coughed, you were like, shut up. You know, and it's like, you know, they scratch their leg and you hear a little fabric rustling, but they drive you so crazy, it's like you're just like, it's like sandpaper in your head. But you're putting God first in your relationships. Do you know what the Bible says fruit of the Spirit is? One of them is kindness. It's love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control. I'm missing one, but it says against those things is no law. Why is there no law against those things? Because they're good. But one of them is kindness. There's gentleness. But kindness is that you look for and find the best in someone. So that person that irks you and that person that when they cough, you're like, shut up. It's really instead of looking for the negatives, you're searching for the positives. That you're putting God first in that relationship, your romantic relationships, your marriage relationships, your dating relationships, your work relationships, your neighbor relationships, your family, parent, kid, parent relationship, that you're putting God first and honoring him with in those relationships. So here's the deal. So we talked about how we connect with God. So now how do we honor God in our relationships with others? How do we love others? God says it's great to love God and love people. So now how do we love people? I mean, people are sometimes hard to deal with, right? Sometimes they're great to deal with, but sometimes people are hard to deal with. I heard, you know, some people are morning people and they wake up and they say, good morning, Lord. And some people wake up and go, good Lord, morning. And then maybe, you know, it's like, I've got another day, and good Lord, I've got to deal with some people at work, and go, oh, man. And I heard a pastor say, and I thought it was the dumbest statement ever, and I still do, but I heard a pastor say, man, I would really love pastoring if it wasn't for people. Exactly. What? But how do we honor God in relationships? How do we love others? If we got to love God and loving people, and the Bible says this is great, then how do we love others? First of all, we decide that we're going to greet each other warmly. We're going to greet each other warmly. Now, let me walk through this a little bit. I choose the word greet because greeting is usually the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you come across someone. It's the first thing that you do when you see someone. And so you're saying, I'm making a decision that I'm going to greet people warmly. So the first thing coming out of my mouth is I want it to be positive and encouraging and loving towards that person. That I and my relationship with them, from the moment we start, I'm going to have it straight as far as it deals with me. That we're going to greet each other warmly. That we are going to say, hey, I'm going to greet warmly. And sometimes we don't like people. But let me give you a little secret. Dallas is full of people. And so we have to deal with them every day. And we honor God. And you're saying, I'm going to decide to honor God. And I'm going to decide to do something great. I'm going to decide to connect with God by greeting people warmly. It says this in John 13:34. In fact, this is one of the greatest verses. Underline it on your sheets. Find it in your Bible. Mark it on your phones. That you have to, in fact, memorize it. Jesus said this, I'm giving you a new commandment. To love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He's God. And he's saying, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. The way I've loved you, Jesus is saying, you love those around you. And I want to say this. If we have experienced the love of God, if we've experienced the salvation love of God, the regeneration in our hearts, then we're to love others in the same way that he's loved us. Luke 6:33 says it this way, and if you do good only to those who do good to you, is that really so wonderful? Even sinners do that much. So if you just smile at someone who smiles at you first, woohoo! God's really just going, woohoo! But he's saying, even that one that, like, they walk into the room and you just, well, even that one that doesn't like you, you don't have anything wrong with it, they don't like you. I know no one in here has ever had that someone doesn't like you. But even that one that doesn't like says that you greet them warmly, that you treat them in a way that honors God. You build that tie that you're going to greet them, the one that has the frown on their face, the one that is really the sourpuss at work, the one that is the knothead, that every meeting you're saying, I wish they weren't in this meeting. Couldn't they be sick today? We had a guy on our staff when I was in Lufkin. And so you had to have your agenda items turned in the morning before staff started. And so we would go through all the agenda items, and our meetings were long. It was a growing church, a larger church. And then as the pastor would close in prayer of the staff meeting, and everyone would get up, the one guy would go, oh, there is one more thing. So the first week, we're like, okay, we sit back down and we go through it. Finally, 6 weeks in, we're realizing every day he's just pulling a power play that he wants his thing to be the last thing remembered. And every week, everyone wanted to punch him in the nose. You think I'm joking? Except for me. I was way more godly than that. He ended up ultimately was fired, not for that, but for just who he was and for the job he did. But that part wasn't really, he was fired just for, but here's the deal, is that ultimately God was saying, even him, even Brad, you greet him warmly and you love him, not out of some fake, feigned enthusiasm, but in the way that God loves you, you love them. All right? So greet them warmly. Make that decision. In fact, I encourage you this week to make that decision. Tomorrow when you go to school, tomorrow when you go to the office, tomorrow when you go to your meetings, greet them warmly and lovingly. Second of all, how do we honor God and how do we love people in the way God would love them? Is that we serve each other daily. Serving others and loving others goes hand in hand. Listen, we can serve and not have love, but we can never have love in our hearts and not serve. The truth is that we can't have a passionate relationship, a legitimate, healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. We can't have him living inside of us and it not lead us to some sort of service. The Bible says that that's what you were created in Christ Jesus to do, is to serve, and he's prepared areas for us to do it. That's why I so passionately encourage you to get involved in ministry and to serve somewhere, because that is what God has created us to do. And guys, I want to ask you this. Do you think that our world, our neighborhoods, our communities would be better if everyone served one another? I think generally we would say yes. And guys, we have 114 days from today, September 8th. We have 114 days left in this year. And the challenge that I want to give to you is to serve your neighbor, is to serve your the person at work, to serve the ones around you, to serve your spouse, to serve your family, to serve your church, that we have 114 days. And I guarantee you that if those of us in this room, the 100 that are at Grace Hill today, the 63 that were in Richardson today, that if we would serve every day for the next 114 days, I guarantee you there would be a measurable difference in the world from our service alone. Amen. I encourage you to serve each other. Several years ago when we were on staff, I was a youth pastor, and what we would do is we would get Cokes and we'd ice them in the morning. We'd get several hundred of them. And then at lunch, the busy part of the day, we would go and stand on the street corner and we'd pass out free Cokes to cars driving by at the stoplights. And so it was really, at first you feel super awkward because you think, am I going to get hit? What are people thinking? I think I'm selling Cokes. What are they? But we'd put a little card underneath the tab that said, you look too special to pass up. We want to show you God's love in a practical way, no strings attached. God bless you. Lufkin First Assembly. And the bag, it'd have a map to the church, but we just hand it to them. And so it was really, if you got the first person to take the free Coke, then everyone else in the red light would take it. If you couldn't get the first person, no one else would take it. But we passed out tens of thousands of these. And one day, as I'm going down the passenger side, this guy rolls down his window, and I'm thinking that he's leaning over to get one, and it's him and his girlfriend, and he leans as far as he could, and he goes, what in the blank do you think you're doing? What in the blankety blank? Get your blank away from my car. And he's just screaming, and he's cursing. And I just said, hey, I just want to show you God's love, no strings attached. And his girlfriend went to reach for one, and as she pulled it in, he reached across the card, he yanked it out of her hand, and the light's still red, and he ripped the card off, and he read it, and it says, what I told you a minute ago, we just want to show you God's love, no strings attached, have a great day. And the guy that had just been cursing me, the guy that had just been screaming with the vein coming down his forehead, begins to cry, and he said, this is the nicest thing a church has ever done for me. I'm so sorry. This is so incredible. This is so kind. Light turns green. Tears welling up in his eyes. He drives off. On Sunday, some people came to church who were the members of the church, and they said, hey, are y'all passing out Cokes at the corner? And we were like, yeah, we did this. It's what we do regularly. And they said, man, that was a talk of our office. Several people in our office began to talk about this church giving away free Cokes. Man, it was a 25-cent Coke. But the point is that we were serving each other. We were serving each other. And what happens is that people sometimes don't like the church, but when you serve, they maybe don't like Christians, but when you serve with no strings attached, it breaks down the barriers and opens up the heart. And I believe that a lifestyle of service represents Christ and his church well. The third way that we love others and that we honor God by loving others is, I believe, that it's to grow with one another weekly. that we grow with one another. Now serving, we're talking about serving, that's everybody. That's your neighbor. That's our neighbor recently had a child, and so the other neighbor got all the neighbors together, and we made meals for them for several weeks so that they wouldn't have to worry about dealing with the twins and dealing with the cooking. And so that's everybody, your neighbor, coworker, family in the church, that's everyone. But growing together is those within the church. And that we love God and honor God and love others by helping them grow, by us helping them grow, and by allowing them to help us grow. So in our men's group that we've met the last 4 years together and cycled guys through, that I believe at the end of the day, and even James's video was an example of this, is that we've grown through this process. That I've grown through this process, and they've grown through this process, and this guy has grown through the process, and that we had one guy that he pulls out his folder, and for the 4 years that he's been at Grace Hill, that he had every set of notes for 4 years. And in that small group meeting, we grew together as we went back, and he said, "I remember this message 6 months ago. It changed my life. I remember the very first message," and he flips through the folder and he says, "This very first message." And we began to talk. I began to cry like a baby because it was really a neat moment because he wasn't even a believer when he came to the church. You see, we grow by helping someone else grow and helping, we grow together weekly, helping them grow and allowing them to help us grow. Proverbs 27:17 says it this way. "As iron sharpens iron, so people can improve each other." The version I like actually better says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." That we can grow together. We can grow in our relationship with God, and we can prod each other on. And the early church is the example of this. And in Acts chapter 2, this is another great passage that you should memorize or at least mark in your Bible. It's a significant chapter because it's a model for us. You see, this early church, they had seen the resurrection of Christ, the crucifixion and resurrection, and they'd get together and they'd talk about it. And then they would see in Acts, the early church, all the acts of the Holy Spirit, the miracles and the incredible things that happened, and they would get together and talk about it, and they changed the world. And we're here today, Yolanda, we're here today because of what happened in the early church and how they handled the move of God during that time. And so it says in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 46, they worshiped together regularly at the temple each day. Then they met in small groups in the homes for communion, and they shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. So what we see is they had corporate gatherings, big gatherings where they'd worship and they would teach, and they'd have these large gatherings, and then they'd have small gatherings as well, that they did both. And for us to grow together weekly and for us to grow together, we have to do both the public gathering and the private gathering. There's something powerful about gathering together and worshiping. And Gabriella, there's something powerful about meeting in a small group as well. There's something powerful about that as well. Connection groups start September 18th, and I want to encourage you to be a part of that. Information will come out this week in the mail and in email and online. But I want to encourage you to make every effort to be here on Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock. Child care is provided, men's groups, women's groups. Some eat food, some don't, but we have these classes that are powerful. So Pastor Allen does full child care and does teaching of the children so that you can worry about growing yourself and helping someone else grow. Does that make sense today? And so I encourage you to be a part of those groups. And then the fourth way that we love others, and I want you to understand this. The fourth way that we love others is to reach out to others consistently. Now, I'm talking about those who are not yet in church, not connected yet to the body of believers, who don't claim faith in Christ. And so what I'm talking about, we're talking about reaching out, we're talking about sharing our faith, and we're sharing what Christ has done in us. And so the reason that is so important is because it's helping them to get on track so that they'll be in heaven when their time here is done. So it secures their eternal destiny so that it allows them to fulfill God's commandments on earth so they can experience the blessings of God while they're here. So we're talking about us sharing our faith. Now here's the deal. We can We can serve them and we can grow together and we can do all, greet them warmly and grow together. But if we never reach out to them and share our faith, we actually hurt them for all eternity. Because all of these things ultimately have to lead up to saying, hey, this is what Christ is, who he is, what he's done in our lives. And it's part of us loving others that we tell them the truth about Christ. And the truth is, there was a moment when someone told me that I grew up in a pastor's home, but there was a season where my heart was really dark to the Lord. My heart was really distant from God. And I had some friends who talked to me and shared with me, and it was beneficial for my life. And the truth is, guys, we are, as people, are created for relationships. Now, some are far more gregarious than others. Some, I mean, they always want to be around people, and they want to do, you know, go out together and be around, and so, and there's some that are a little more distant. But ultimately, we're all created for relationships. And the truth is, we can accomplish that so well in the church of being tied together, but part of that comes with sharing your faith. Here's what the Bible says in Colossians, and we're closing out with this. In Colossians 4, verse 5, it says, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Here's the deal, is that God is going to give each of us some great opportunities this year. Some great opportunities to grow with one another weekly. Some great opportunities to share consistently. Some great opportunities to serve each other. That God is going to give us great opportunities in the next year. And for us, we make the most of every opportunity to reach out. And again, we talked about honoring God with the best of our week. We connect by God by honoring him with the best of our day, the best of our finances, and putting him the first in our relationships. And so today, this is a place for us to connect with God and for us to grow. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, stand with me this morning. And we're going to close in prayer, but I want us, the band's going to play, or Aaron's going to play, and I want you just for a moment to say, God, help me in these areas. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and would you just for a moment close your eyes and open up your heart. And I want you to say, God, I want to connect by giving you the best of my week. I make that commitment. God, I want to connect with you by giving you the best of my days, each day. God, I'm going to trust you enough to give you the best of my finances. And God, I'm going to put you first in my relationships, my work relationships, my family relationships. I'm going to trust you enough to be obedient in my romantic relationships, dating relationships, marriage relationships. God, I'm going to put you first. And God, I'm going to love others today by greeting them warmly, Lord. And make a decision that I'm going to do that, God. That I'm going to serve others selflessly. God, I put you first in reaching out consistently and being connected to grow with people weekly.